on the coast of Southern California, you can only surf, party, and make love for so long before it's time to go to work.
Rock and roll!
27 banks in 3 years.
Everybody freeze!
Anything to catch the perfect wave.
I'm not a crook!
Patrick Swayze.
Fear causes hesitation. And hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
Keanu Reeves.
And you think I joined the FBI to learn to surf?
Point Break.
Adios, amigo!
What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
Alex, if you want the ultimate, you've got to be willing to pay the ultimate price.
He's young. He's dumb. He is full of cum. It's my boy, Cisco Kid.
Go back to the valley, man.
And he caught his first tube this morning. Back again. It is the slush god himself. What's going on, dude?
Back off, war child.
Seriously.
I mean, listen. If you haven't figured out, there's a chance you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. But if you do, this week's movie was selected by the slush god, and that is Point Break. Steve, before we jump over to Slush and get his vibe on the movie, why Point Break? I feel like you and Cisco put it on the master list. Why this movie?
So it's funny. When I Googled summer blockbusters, this one kept popping up. And I was like, summer blockbuster? And I went and looked, and it did fairly well in its budget. Now, this movie is directed by Kathryn Bigelow, married to James Cameron. And it just so happens that James Cameron helped develop the script and this movie with her. And this movie came out like a couple of weeks, a week after, 2 weeks after Terminator 2 premiered. Now, obviously, Terminator 2 was still a fucking juggernaut at the box office, but this movie was a success. Granted, and at the end of the day, when I think of this movie, I think of watching the first hour countless times in the summer with my buddies. And so it's weird. It's not, in my opinion, it's not a summer blockbuster in the sense that we think of Jurassic Park and Terminator, but it's a fucking summer blockbuster.
All right, Cisco, your thoughts on Point Break?
It's a very simple answer for a very simple question, because it fucking rules. That's it. Point Break fucking rules. I love it. If you don't love it, that's fine, but you're wrong. Point Break is the shit. Period. Point blank, period.
All right, Slush. So we handed you a master list of a ton of movies, and you had a few that you were kind of, you know, poking around on, but you landed on Point Break. Why Point Break?
I mean, what doesn't this movie have? They're surfers. They're cool. They're good looking. They drive cool old cars. They jump out of airplanes. They have sick costumes. They have nicknames. They throw sick parties. I mean, it's literally what you want your summer to be in a sick action movie that, hot take that we'll get to later, led the way for a lot of other summer blockbuster movies, in my opinion. I mean, it's just, what more could you ask for? I mean, you got the crashing waves. You got the hot babes on the beach. You got football games. You got monster truck jeeps robbing things. You can't go wrong.
I have to admit something. When I started watching this for the first time this week to prepare for this show, and this movie started up, I was so fucking ashamed of myself for not having seen this movie. Truly, I felt shame in my body. I was like, who am I? And what is the reality that I live in where I thought that in some world I existed without seeing this movie? This movie is, I mean, and Steve knows this and Cisco knows this and Slush, you probably know this to an extent, like, you want to talk about lining up shit that I love and smashing it into a weird smorgasbord of a movie? This is it. It's like, it's written like a 14-year-old wrote it. It's got, it's like, what would be cool? Surfboards. What would be cool? Bank robberies. What would be cool? Skydiving. It really is like, it is the quintessential, wouldn't this be cool if? Is
all
what
of those
I,
things
this,
are cool, by the way.
And they're all, they're not, they're radical, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not just cool, they're fucking radical. And like, it's so unapologetically what it is. And I'm sure at the time, it didn't have this kind of like cult mystique to it. Like, people probably watched like, it's pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know what it was like to see Point Break in theaters, and maybe Cisco will be able to speak to it. I was very young. No way my parents were taking me to see this. But as I'm watching it now, I'm like, oh, it's like aged on two levels. Like, there's you can watch it from the ironic place, and you can watch it from, yep, this is a fucking 1992 banger. And I found myself floating in this weird out. Like, I think I kept texting all three of them, like, this movie's insane. Like, I don't know what to make of it, because at any given moment, I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. Now they're fighting. Now he's getting into a fist fight with Anthony Kiedis. Like, what's happening in this movie? So, let's just get into it. Steve, tell me your what is your memory of this movie? Like, I know you mentioned watching it with your friends, but what is your first memory of Point Break?
Oh God, definitely didn't see it in theaters. This is a movie that just sort of, similarly to Gleaming the Cube, this is a movie that just sort of, my best friend Ryan and I, since we were 5 years old, best friends, we lived together in LA. It's just, I think I told Cisco this. This is a movie that I remember the two of us at any given moment, one of us always had a copy of it. And it's also one of those movies that still to this day, no matter the format or whatnot, I will buy it. It's one that will always remain in my collection. This movie, and I alluded to earlier, I know that I've seen the first at least hour of this movie hundreds of times. This is
because, boy, this, the midpoint of this thing's nuts. This movie takes a turn.
It does. But also, like, this reminds me of an era of MTV Sports and Dan Cortez and the movie Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes and skydiving being a thing in the zeitgeist in the early 90s. It just was. It was extreme. It was, I don't know, man. It was all of a sudden, like, you'd start watching skydiving videos like you watched skate videos. And people, like, base jumping and just, like, what? It just was, like, it was part of the birth of extreme sports in the mainstream.
What about you, Slush? What was your chemistry when you first experience with Point Break?
So, this was definitely on, there were a group of movies that my dad had, I believe, on Laserdisc, if I'm not mistaken.
Hit him with a Mario coin for the Laserdisc.
Yeah, which is the old, like, giant CDs you had to flip over halfway through the movie.
They were like vinyl records. They were huge.
Yeah.
They were big, and giant CDs.
There was, like, a group of probably 20 movies, but it was, like, in the same vein of, like, Top Gun.
Under Siege. You know,
yeah, Under Siege, like, all of them. Like, every Days movie you can put that guy in. Yeah, Days of Thunder, like, Falling Down. The, like, Fugitive. My dad just had, like, the classic collection of those, like, action movies. And this was one that probably got one of the most plays, because as a younger kid, it was like, this is everything that I want to do. Like, this is the experience that I want to have when I go to the beach that I never actually get when I go to the beach, because I can't surf. Sand gets everywhere. It's just, you know, like, it's like the romanticized vision
reality
of
reality,
like,
sits in.
You don't, yeah, look like Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to fuck Patrick Swayze while watching this. I was like, I've never been so attracted to a person in my life than in this movie. He's a bank robber, but he's also like a sophisticated Zen Buddhist surfer. Cisco, what about you? Did you see Point Break in the theater?
I don't think so. It's possible, but I don't think I did. But I saw it a lot on VHS, like a lot. And then as I got older, I would just watch it whenever it was on. If it was on one of the cable channels I was fucking watching this shit. And it's a movie that like is easy to make fun of, but it's also, I think, underappreciated in some ways because of that, right? Like, it's easy to make fun of Keanu in the movie and all that kind of stuff, but like Patrick Swayze is fucking dialed in this movie.
He stole it. Yeah,
he's so good.
Movie doesn't work without him.
Oh no, no, for sure, not at all.
I'm not saying this to be snarky, but like, I don't even know that the movie works. And he's the thing that makes it work. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick. Like, it's not that the movie doesn't work without him. It's like the movie does not work, but Patrick Swayze is firing on cylinders that are like, I'm fucking in. Like, dude, there's that scene like right after he meets him and he's like, this is Johnny Utah, man, college football. So I was like, and he happens to have a great lexicon of college football quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. This movie is insane. Insane. Yeah. But I love it.
I will say one thing in response to that. Growing up in Southern California as a USC fan, you knew who the guy was from Ohio State that fucked up USC in the Rose Bowl. That's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't just something that they did for the movie. That's like, USC and Ohio State have a legitimate beef rivalry that happens in the Rose Bowl a lot. And so if a dude kicked your ass and you were living in Southern California and you liked USC, you knew who that dude was. So he would know who Johnny Utah was. And he's got a fucking rad name. He's Johnny Utah, for fuck's sake.
It's why everybody hates us in California, because we can be fucking terrible, badass bank robber, surfer, fucking Buddhist Zen, fucking college football experts.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like if you took somebody who's never been to California and told them to like, if a bunch of aliens came down and you had 30 minutes to explain California to them. And then you said, now you have to make a movie about California. This would be pretty close to it. Like, it's like so surface, but also not. Like, it's kind of dead on, like in this really weird. It's like right out the gate. I think I texted you, Slush, the moment the training sequence started, the very beginning, dude, when he's like, when he goes, the
opening sequence is fire,
dude.
Because like, it flashes back, right? It's surfing, and then it's Johnny Utah shooting targets.
Yeah,
in the rain, in slow motion.
Well, it's like, right? It's like, well, oh, you want to talk about beautiful cinematic symmetry, right? Starts in the rain with the beginning of his training, ends in the rain with him surfing the big giant. Oh, see, there's fucking symmetry happening here, dude. These guys, they're telling a fucking story. But like, I couldn't get over when that fucking, the training guy goes, 100% Utah. It's like,
it's funny because like this movie has the ability to, like, it has everything in place on purpose, but it's so well done that you almost think, like, did they really, like, is this really on purpose? Or did this just fall into place and it happens to be, like, the perfect 90s movie? Because I feel like this is what movies now try to emulate. And they did it so seamlessly without making it look like it was try hard. And it's like, now that I look back on it, it's like it had every perfect element of like what you think as a 90s summer California vibes movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those movies that like exactly what you're saying, Slush, is that There were other movies that came out around the same time that were trying to do the same thing, but always ended up doing a little too much, right? Like Jumping the Shark. So you got like The Last Boy Scout. It's just like, it's too fucking much. But like this movie is like, it's crazy, but it's not too crazy. It's like, it's crazy enough, but still believable that this kind of thing could happen, right? Like a group of surfers who just want to, you know, get radical, they do it, and you know, they're not out to hurt anybody until they have to, but you know,
until they're absolutely pushed to totally break all moral codes. Yep. And just start blasting fools. Yep.
They gotta do it, man. They gotta do it. But he did it first. He fucked them over first by, you know, coming in undercover.
He started it. Yep. Utah started it.
Bodie would never do that, man, if Johnny Utah hadn't broken his dress first.
I feel like when I, which by the way, just for the listeners at home, it's totally not going to be an issue, but I'm going to just call it out because it's hilarious. So where Slush is recording right now, there's like a reggae band like jamming next to him. So like there's nothing more Point Break than him recording a podcast about Point Break while some reggae band is just jamming in the other room. So if you guys hear some music, just know Slush is throwing a major party down in Santa
Ana
right now.
There's probably a woman, you know, being a flame spitter at that party. Yep.
Once they bust out the Nerf fucking
if the wall catches on fire, we know why.
When I was watching this movie, I found myself just thinking about the pitch for this movie and how kind of perfect it is. Like young undercover FBI agent, new to California, learns to surf to go undercover to crack an underground bank robbing team of surfers. It just signed the check, especially in what, 92?
Yeah.
92 or 91? 92, right?
91.
Just write the check. 91, just write the check. Fucking write the check. I would be remiss if we didn't start talking about the performances. I mean, why don't you guys take it? Because you're so beloved of this movie. Like, some standout, besides Swayze and Reeves, we'll get to those performances after, but some of the side colorful characters in this movie.
It makes me happy to hear you say that, Alex, because it's one of those things where I started questioning myself going, are all these characters and all these different people in these like quick scenes and whatnot, are they really that memorable, or do I just love them because I've watched this movie countless times? And the fact that like you called it out and like there's the moments that I know that you're laughing at and everything, where, you know, once we talk about Warchild and Anthony Kiedis, we talk about, you know, the Swayze's brother in the movie. Like, it just, I don't know. Slush.
First of all, fucking love Tom Sizemore, dude.
Oh,
Tom, yes!
Sizemore, out Sizemore
as the DEA agent that gets fucked over by Utah.
God damn, son of a bitch! You cowboys, you're real cowboys, right? Batman and Robin. You know what this is, huh? You know what this is, punk? This two keys, uncut, crystal meth.
Oh, shit. Special agent Utah, I'd like you to meet Agent Dietz. Works for the DEA. He was working deep cover until you
think decided. I like this hair, man? Huh? You think I like these clothes? My wife wants me to stay at Ramada. I've been working on these fuckers for 3 months! 3 months! Now I finally got him wanting to play Wheel of Fortune with me so I can find out who the suppliers is, and you fucking cowboys show up.
Nice tattoo, Deeds.
Oh, you like that, Pathos, huh? Fuck you.
Here's a record of your suspect's movements for every day over the last 3 months.
All I want to know, smart guy, okay? All I want to know. So how are these guys robbing Tarzana City National Bank on August 2nd when they were in Fort fucking Lauderdale August 2nd? Why don't you figure that out?
It's not an easy thing to do, is it, Utah?
Fucking jerks.
You think I like this haircut? You think I like these fucking clothes?
I've been on these guys for 3 months. 3 months. This is Tom Sizemore doing his thing before Tom Sizemore really blows up. But yeah, man, I really love that scene too. Go ahead, Slush.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to give it up to the dick boss.
Just
Dr. Cox. The introduction of Utah's character coming into the office and like the classic young, dumb, and full of cum. We must have ourselves
special, huh?
Yeah. We must have ourselves an asshole shortage.
Special Agent John Utah, day number one in LA. Welcome aboard. We're going over your personnel records. Very impressive.
Thank you.
You may very well have been in the top 2% of your class at Quantico, but quite frankly, son, out here you have exactly 0 hours of experience in the field. You know nothing. In fact, you know less than nothing. If you even knew that you knew nothing, that'd be something, but you don't.
Yes, sir.
You need a solid breakfast, Utah?
Sir?
All the food groups, avoiding caffeine, sugar. I like to make sure that all my people maintain sound cardiovascular fitness. We don't drink, and we sure as hell don't smoke.
Sir, I take the skin off chicken.
Good man. That'll be good. This is us. All right. Bank robbery. And you are now in the bank robbery capital of the world.
1,322 last year in L.A. County, up 26% from the year before.
That's correct. And we nailed over 1,000 of them. Miss Deer, take a look at that for me. Thank you. Do you know how we nail the bad guys, Utah? Do you know how we nail them? By crunching data. Good crime scene work, good lab work, and most importantly, good database analysis. Special Agent Utah, are you receiving my signal?
Zero distortion, sir. I love these things.
Hey, you're a real blue flame special, aren't you, son? Young, dumb, and full of cum. I know. What I don't know is how you got yourself assigned out here to Los Angeles with us. I mean, hell, I guess we just must have ourselves an asshole shortage, huh?
Not so far.
That is he. That's his. That's his John, intro.
John C.
That's
his McGinley,
fucking
man.
Coming into
John
the department.
John C. McGinley is the that's fucking his, best.
That's his. That's his 1 out of 10. That's where they thought they should start this character. Like, let's introduce this guy going. And then what does fucking Reeves say back? He's like, I cut the skin off my chicken, sir. And he's like, that's what I'm fucking talking about. Like,
And then he immediately goes and grabs a donut.
Everyone's just grabbing their cock and balls when they deliver their lines. No,
like, how funny is it that he's like, that Utah's just like, cut the skin off a chicken, sir. And 2 seconds later, he's grabbing a fucking donut and he's just like, I love these things.
It's like the same banter that like Lethal Weapon has with the boss, where it's like the boss isn't a main character at all, but he has such good, memorable moments where it's like he's just like the perfect. He's the dick boss that everyone either had or had in the past.
I guarantee you the pitch was, let's do Lethal Weapon, but let's make it for the MTV generation. That's what that's what the goal was here. It was like
pretty good.
Lethal Weapon and Die Hard work, but like we need those kids in those flannels to get to the theater. Yeah. What do we do?
And they really do push it that way because like Keanu always has like a smart ass comeback to it. Like the skin off chicken, and then like when he says like, oh, I guess we have an asshole shortage, and Keanu just goes, I don't think so, or something. And it's like, dude, it's like so well done. And like even like later on in the movie when they get like screamed at for him buying all the surfing equipment, like Keanu's last quick line is like, caught my first tube today, sir. And it's just like the door slams and it's like, it's just so, I don't know. I really view this movie as like, again, it's what other movies try to do. But when other movies do it, you can see it versus when they did it, it was so natural. And it really just makes those characters like stand out even more. Trying to think of what other, I mean, yeah, it's like, even like the like random crazy characters like Warchild, like they're so memorable, even though like they have like 3 lines, if that.
Yeah. Nobody's going to talk about Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. We're
getting there.
Okay. Just don't want to leave Gary Busey out. Like, he steals the whole fucking show.
We are not
show.
Leaving. What? No. Busey, I think, thought he was the star of the movie.
I would say, I think Busey definitely is the third co-star.
He's just like
he's so
I was taking
good.
Shrapnel and caisson when you were just wiping your mama's tits or some shit like that. Fucking Busey, dude.
You've been working bank robbery, what, 22 years?
Yeah, 22 years. Man, L.A. has changed a lot during that time. The air got dirty and the sex got clean.
Uh-huh. So a guy with that kind of timing must have some theory about these guys.
Leave it alone, Johnny.
Okay, fine. You've given up. Fine. It doesn't mean I have to.
Hey, hey, listen. Forget about it, kid. They are ghosts.
Yeah, of course. What am I thinking? If you couldn't crack it with all your years of experience, it's impossible to conceive that I might have something to offer, right? Well, maybe I can do better than some over-the-hill burnout.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Maybe you ought to just take some early retirement right now and get some rent-a-cop night security job. Tell Nom stories.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit! I was taking shrapnel and caisson while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face!
You mad?
Yeah, I'm mad!
Good and mad!
Yeah!
What do you want to do about it?
It feels good, doesn't it? Like you're still alive, right?
Yeah!
Well, since you're still alive and you're not in the box just yet, why don't you tell me this theory of yours and we'll go get these guys?
Yo, Busey thought he was in a different movie. Busey thought that he was in Godfather Part 2. He was like just as committed as Patrick Swayze, and he was going for it, bro. Like when you first meet him and he's doing that whole swimming drill and he's got his eyes blindfolded, he's just going off on his new partner.
Well, this was an era of Busey, man, because it was like I said, I think he's also in Drop Zone. I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like he is.
He's in Lethal Weapon.
He's in Under Siege. He's in Lethal Weapon. He's in fucking this. He's in oh God, I just had on the tip of my tongue here.
Yeah, I feel like this was like pretty much Busey peak.
This is where Busey starts to
because Busey in Lethal Weapon is like that robot. He's basically like a Terminator in a way, right? Like he's just like puts the hit. Fire on his hand and he doesn't move and shit. And he's like,
that is controlled Busey, right? That's Busey when you're like, you got a director that's like, hey man, tone it back, go learn your lines, like be prepared, work on your character. And then this might be a little bit of this, like, we got Gary Busey, man. Let's see what this fucking guy brings to the party. Next thing you know, he's blindfolded going, woohoo, and like jumping into the fucking water.
Dude, yeah, like just give me two. Just the way that he jumps in the water, shows from the get-go. Like, obviously, you guys can't see it, but if you watch that scene, like, he could have very easily just dived in normal, but he does this, like, weird sideways, like, belly flop, and it's like, that sets the whole tone of the movie of, like, okay, this guy's a little bit wacky, but he's, like, an OG. He knows what he's doing. Like, you can trust him, but he's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's the only one in the entire police department that, like, as all the other agents wear like suits, he wears like a gotcha striped shirt one scene. And then he has like different blouse, like flower Hawaiian shirts on. And it's like, you can just tell out the gate that he's the outsider. And that's it, like makes it so much more perfect because he's the one that has the weird theory. And he's
that,
the one that's
I want to
like,
talk about the theory. Let's get into the theory real quick. I was like, I can't believe this is how they're going to introduce the ideas that the bank robbers are surfers. Is he's like, we got a hair sample and I ran some tests and these are all the things. And then there's this wax and he pulls
You're forgetting what turned him. The first thing that caught his eye.
The tan lines.
The tan lines are what set this off.
Don't forget those butt cheeks.
He was like
a man on a mission telling and they were like, tell him about your theory, man. Like they're all fucking hazing him. He's like, yeah, I'll fucking tell you my theory.
Crazy Uncle Gary.
Yeah, it's so good that they connect it to sex wax too, because I remember sex wax being like
that was a thing.
Something that we talked in the shadows about in like elementary school, where it was like it's sex wax. And it was like, none of us really knew even what it did, but we just knew that they sold it at stores and it had the word sex on it. And it was just like,
dirty shit, bro. It's for dirty stuff.
Yeah. It was just so random. But no, I mean, that connection, the theory in itself, like you said, when it goes to the pitch, like the whole story of like the surfers, then they put on presidential costumes, which they don't really explain other than like a few jokes, but it's like it's just an excuse to have costumes in the movie, I guess. But
that looks awesome too, and to let him get off the "I'm not a crook" line.
Yeah, it's like it's only for one-liners.
It looks really cool, but also like it's sort of like Holly, like a very MTV way of like taking on the man. like, yeah. And then I think there's a moment where they're like, it's not something these guys didn't take already. And you're like, oh God. It's just like, so.
Yeah. I think like, I think it's a Bodhi line, but he's like, yeah, like we've been fucking you for years. You can take it for a couple more minutes or something like that. Yeah. It's just like, it's so, but I feel like that's like, the costume designer just happened to find presidential costumes, and then they were like, okay, let's just write like some sick one-liners that have to do with presidents. You know, like it's so good.
There was a moment in, I feel like the early to mid 2000s where, you know, I was in my early 20s, and it felt like every Halloween party I went to for a few years, there were a group of guys dressed as the ex-presidents.
It's easy.
It was like you had the ex-presidents, and then you had the Reservoir Dogs.
Two very easy costumes. Yep.
What about Lori Petty? Like,
yeah, Lori Petty was a thing, right?
That's a thing.
I text Steve. I was like, this is a thing. This was very informative on my adolescent years.
Yeah. My wife and I were talking about this while we were watching it. And she's just like, whatever happened to her? And I was like, you know, honestly, I don't know.
What are you talking about? You know, a league of their own?
That wasn't the same time, though, bro. I'm talking about now.
No, she's like, Orange is the New Black.
She's on Orange is the New Black. She was a regular on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. But I must have been in the later seasons because I stopped watching after season two, I think. And
Yeah. She is around. Season three. She comes in season and then she's three. In for the whole show.
But it's one of those things where Alex texted me, the Utah's girl or whatever, and I said, Lori Petty. And I was just like, it's really simple. It's fucking this, League of Their Own.
Tank Girl.
And Orange is the New Black.
And in the Army Now, bro.
And in the Army Now, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Show some respect. Show some respect.
But yeah, I mean, so, you know, she was definitely a thing during that time. And it's a little ambiguous. Like, if people are going to give, listen, let's just be honest, all right? I don't know if I'm going to get dragged for this or whatever, but if people are going to give Maverick shit for Top Gun, then can people just be honest about the fact that Utah has a very ambiguous looking love interest in this movie?
Oh, if you look it up online, there's dozens of articles that talk about how Keanu and Lori Petty are doppelgangers in this movie.
I was going to say, he's dating himself.
He's dating himself, yep.
They're doppelgangers, and honestly, I was getting a vibe that like maybe him and Bodhi had like some that sort would of make, like...
Oh, that's it, always been a thing.
Some kind of intense physical connection. Like... Listen,
as you like you said, Alex, Bodhi is hot AF in this movie, bro.
Yeah,
like,
they're all fucking.
The fact that that man pulls that fucking hairstyle off.
Bro. What, Patrick Swayze?
The fact that he pulls that hairstyle off.
Dude, when you see him walking after they have that fight with Warchild and the gang, and he's walking out with the wetsuit just half down, and this dude is just ripped. Shredded,
but he's like surfer ripped,
but lean
surfer ripped. You're like, oh yeah, man, I'm such a waste. And this, what is am like, I this, doing?
There's no like, there's no pretense. He's just walking around like what you like, what a surfer would walk around. He's
the got, man is a master. The man is a master of movement, man.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah. He's a master he's of a movement from Dirty Dancing on. Like the man knows his body, and he knows how to move it and position it.
It's the confidence.
Yeah,
the confidence is outstanding.
Let's talk about some standout scenes because this movie has a lot of them. Let's just go around the horn. Let's just start. Whoever wants to start throwing them out, let's do it.
Well, we already started with, you know, obviously the opening with the FBI training montage, right? Into fucking, I take the chicken off of my skin, sir, and that whole shit.
Diving with the
fucking into the pool. Which, by the way, in that moment that you talk about, Slush, where he does that wild jump in, I would bet money that if we got the audio track from that moment, he's literally going, "Whoa!"
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to bet they cut that out.
The scene that always stands out the most to me, and I think, like, really is like one of those, like, when I think about this movie, this is, like, the picture that I see in my brain, is Bodhi as Reagan with the hose on fire and just spraying fire everywhere. And I'm just like, man, that is so cool looking. Like, every time I see it, I'm just like, that looks dope. Like, I want to be that dude just throwing flames everywhere. Fucking crazy.
Add that to your list, Alex, of being a little kid and being like, I want bank robberies. I want surfing. And I want flamethrower out of the gas station pump.
Yep.
What came out first, this or Lost Boys?
Lost Boys is 88.
Because this has kind of Lost Boy vibes. I could see them like
Lost Boys is 87.
Let's take Lost Boys and smash it up with Lethal Weapon, right? It's kind of got a little bit of that Lost Boys thing, which is like the secret surfer kind of thing, like the beachy thing. One of the two scenes that really, like, as we're talking, really stick out to me. One is the first time Keanu goes fucking surfing, and then Lori Petty saves him.
You crazy son of a bitch! You want to commit suicide, you do it someplace else! This pig boy piece of shit! You got no business out here whatsoever!
Hey! My name's Johnny Utah!
Who cares?
And like, dies. And she's just like, what are you doing, man? You just fucking killed out here, man. Like, so intense. Like,
he's like, no business out here at all.
You got no business, man. You're taking your life in the line. You're getting hurt. At-. So I was like, whoa, fucking relax, man. Fucking floating around on the board. Like, yeah, he almost drowned. But like, also, you know, he's okay. Like, everybody's cool. Like, just like that really stuck out.
Can we talk about them Patrick Swayze walking up and being like, whoa. Being like, oh, that thing's like a 57 Chevy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, man, it's like a hot rod.
Yeah, yeah.
Covered in flames.
And then he pulls the G-est move ever where he's just like, hey, can I talk to you for a second over here? And he like pulls her aside, and then right in front of her is just like, what, are you replacing me?
Yes. The other scene that stuck out to me, and this is jumping a little ahead so we can go back, but I just want to call it out while it's still fresh in my mind. When they do the first raid of the Nazi punk house,
oh,
and they just start shooting. Like, there's no
right. That's where Sizemore goes nuts, right?
Dude,
yeah.
They just start fucking blasting bodies, shotgun, shooting their feet, throwing women in bikini thongs right in the way of the fire.
This was a movie of blood squibs, man. Like blood squibs, like doing their thing at their height.
When Anthony Kiedis blows his foot up, it's like, to this day, I always just am like, I have to like cringe a little bit. I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's really when the movie takes a turn.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any gunshot. Like, that's the first like real action other than them like robbing a bank. But even that, like, there's nothing bad happens until that scene.
That's where the raw violence begins.
Well, yeah, because
and then it just goes like completely from 0 to 100, like blowing your foot off, dude getting like almost his face in the lawnmower.
Dude, I was like, whoa, this is fucking intense.
Yeah. Well, Busey has that moment with Keanu in that right after that whole thing happens where he's just like, first time killing anybody, huh? And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. They're just paper targets out here.
Oh shit! Jesus
Christ.
Let me throw this out there because I had a thought, and it's unfortunately kind of escaping me now. But this is what it was. Was it gonna be a big reveal?
Hold on.
Yeah, I apologize if you hear the guitar solo that's happening.
Dude, I was like, Steve, is this something? It's like a Point Break trailer. You're busting out right now. Holy shit! They fucking just, dude. They all stepped on their stomp boxes at once.
They transported us to Bodie's house right now. We're in Bodie's house.
At least it kind of goes with the theme.
Alex texts me the best thing. He's like, "There's fucking lit tiki torches inside the house."
I was like, and nobody told them that lighting tiki torches inside.
That production designer fucking deserves an Oscar for that.
So this is the thing. Was it really supposed to be a surprise that it wasn't the Nazis? Because like clearly I knew it was Patrick Swayze because I know about this movie. But like the first time you're watching it, are you supposed to think that like these are just good guys and he found the bad guys?
No. I mean, right. it's like Fast and Furious.
It's like totally. It's like you know it and you're just waiting for Keanu to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even in the first scene when they're in the car, when he says the little hands time to rock and roll, you see them like putting the masks on, so you know it's not them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Keanu, basically you're going through Keanu's process of like not wanting to accept the fact that his mentor is the dude that he's chasing.
Yeah. And that's an excellent scene, like when he realizes that it's them, because Gary Busey has this line where he's like, no, like, because I think Keanu's asking him, like, how am I supposed to know there's hundreds of surfers out here? And he has like a famous line where he says, like, you'll know it's a group within the group.
Yeah.
And then it's like that line is like replaying in his head as he's walking on the beach. And then he sees them and it like pans to them, like all five of them or four of them, like surfing one wave, like super epically. Yeah. And it's like, you
we
see
don't just
it
rob banks face. Together. We do everything together. Yeah, we're and it's so like, tight.
You see it click in his face of like, oh shit, it's Bodhi. And it's like, it's weird because like you kind of know the whole time, but seeing him realize it is really like that scene stands out to me a lot.
Which, by the way, rewinding a little bit, like the fact that they're on the beach just randomly plucking hairs off of people. Bro, I just saved your life. Like,
just saved your life,
bro.
Like,
what kind of narco entrapment is this, man?
Whoa, bro. You should have saw that bug, man. Can I see it? Nah, bro. It was weird. There's a lot of weird, like, you don't really know whether Keanu likes surfers, whether he wants to be a surfer. It's just a, it really is.
At that
is,
point, he still doesn't, he's not bought in, right? He's still like, he hasn't bought in yet. He's still the, like, this is for rubber people stage. And it's not until he actually gets it during that night surfing.
I think it's the night surfing. The football, the classic football scene is what draws him into the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like gets accepted. And that's like when him and Bodhi's bromance start.
It's still a jock
to him at that
point, though.
Romantically in the water.
Right. Yep.
And then the night surfing is definitely when it like really
it's
clicks.
In that moment, right? Like that's what he's like. What's the line? Do you have it here on your favorite quote, Slush? No. What's the line? It's in that moment, right? But when you're in between, something like that. That's like the most famous line from this movie.
They only live to get radical. They don't have any real understanding of the sea, so they'll never get the spiritual side of it.
Hey, you're not going to start chanting or anything, are you?
I might.
This is me.
So, you still haven't figured out what riding waves is all about, have you? It's a state of mind. It's that place where you lose yourself and you find yourself. You don't know it yet, but you got it. It's right there. I saw you with those guys. You're a pit bull. You didn't hesitate, and they didn't back you down an inch. And that is very rare in this world.
Well, thanks for stepping in.
De nada. Later. Oh, hey. I'm, having some people over at my house tonight if you want to come.
Sure. Where?
Come with Tyler. She knows.
All right.
We've talked a lot about, it's funny, we talked a lot about the first half of this movie because that's kind of where all of like the memorable camp-tastic stuff is, where it's like, it really is that like surfer heisty movie. This movie takes a real turn though. Like it goes from kind of like Fast and the Furious-y to like an 80s action movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the turn of this movie? I just want to get your guys' opinion on the second half of this movie.
So it starts with the chase, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the chase is rad. I love it. You know, it has that scene that I just talked about with the flamethrower, and then they're running through houses, and, you know, fucking Bodhi throws a pit bull on him.
I was going to say, you got to shout out the dog. He literally throws a dog at the guy.
And he doesn't just throw it. He punts that fucking
dog. And then the
dog
yelps.
He punts the fucking dog out the window. So they're having this big chase. He falls down, hurts his knee. Obviously, you know, they set up the fact that his knee, he's got a bad knee. And, you know, he hesitates, right? And because he's got the connection with Bodhi now. He knows. I mean, at that point, he knows that it's him. So then we get into the realm of like, now it's the action movie. Now it's like, are they going to catch him? How are they going to catch him? And then at the same time, you're getting the robbers trying to figure out what are they going to do to like get their one last heist in before they blow LA.
The moving forward, the scene where it's the lead in as they're in the plane going skydiving, and it's the whole passing the chute around. And it's sort of also intense because now we're like, these guys are fucking killers. Like, these guys are not just, you know, bank robbers. And it's like, fuck, they're literally going to throw him off a plane. Like,
well, I think, I forgive what's the actress's name?
Lori Petty.
Lori Petty kind of says it. She's like, you got that look in your eyes, man. Like Bodhi, like you're a junkie, man. You're chasing something, and you're one of them. I can feel it. And I think that skydiving moment sort of serves the purpose of like, you all kind of realize, oh, these are a special kind of obsessive people that'll do anything to chase that feeling.
Well, and they even say it's better than anything you could put in your arm.
Yeah. Well, and in that moment, we also as an audience know.
Steve said it like that was pure poetry. It's like better than anything you could ever put in your arm.
So like we as an audience in that sky, right when that skydiving thing happens, we know that Swayze and the rest of them know that he's the FBI agent. Yeah. But he doesn't know that they know, right? That they know that it's him.
I think they do, though, because they had already locked eyes that moment, right? The skydiving scene is after the chase, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's not acting so like
when
it,
though. When they lock eyes at the gas station, when he has the flamethrower, that's when Bodhi knows. And I think that's when they see each other and it's like, oh, fuck.
I guess in that moment, though, it's sort of weird because he's not acting like.
Well, that's what's weird. Neither do they. And that's kind of what shows that weird relationship that they have where it's like a good guy and a bad guy, but they're friends. Yeah. Because even though, like, Utah knows they're the robbers and the robbers know that it's Utah, they still have this like back and forth banters like they're buddies where it's like, oh, don't use his chute. He packs a shitty chute. Here, swap with mine. And then they swap it again. And it's like they could have easily just killed dude right there, but they don't because they like him.
He should be way more scared in that moment, right?
Yeah.
And instead he gets off the beautiful line. He's like, are we going to jump or jerk off?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's like the beginning of them like, because they do sort of try to turn, at least Bodhi tries to turn him later, where he's like, you can either be with them or you could be with us. And it's like, clearly that's not going to happen. But he at least tries to get him to go with them. I think
that's what he's hoping for, right? He's like, maybe if this guy knows that like we're special, we're like special bank robbers. And if he joins us, he'll never have to worry about all the pressures of his of living that FBI life. You know, if you want to make a,
because I guess at that point they still haven't crossed the line. They haven't killed anybody.
That's true. It's not until that moment where Utah's like, I have to take you down. Like it's not until
he sees that he's kidnapped Lori Petty that he decides that he's like, oh, these guys are serious.
I feel like he yells like, you're breaking your rules. He says
that's later when they're actually in the robbery.
Yeah.
Which, guys, real quick.
The whole time, even though they're supposed to be against each other, they're still, like, rooting for each other, which totally feeds into, like, the weird romantic.
But that's even into the last scene of the movie. It's the same. Like, it never ends, in my opinion.
Yeah. They're in love. Let's just admit it. They're in love. Well, and I accept it. I mean, I accept the romance.
And first, guys, I have to go back to it. The skydiving scenes. Like, talk about the beautiful beauty that is Patrick Swayze in his movement, in his skydiving.
I mean, you probably know this as well as I do, but I was reading the trivia. But I mean, Patrick Swayze was an accomplished skydiver during the production of this movie and was skydiving, even though they told him that he couldn't do it, was begging to be able to do the jumps. And him and his friends would go without the production's knowledge, even though he has signed a thing saying that he wouldn't skydive and would go fucking do jumps without telling him.
Such a Patrick Swayze thing to do.
He wouldn't leave fucking Gary Busey alone the entire time, and Gary just fucking kept refusing and refusing and refusing. And I think finally, after the movie wrapped, he ended up finally doing it. But I don't know. You guys ever skydived?
No.
Would you ever skydive?
No.
Yes.
No.
Cisco, you strike me as a skydiver.
100% would do it. Yes.
That's a Freudian slip. My wife, like, as long as I've known her, has wanted to go skydiving. I think it looks beautiful. I think it looks amazing. But kind of like Slush said in his notes, how they make it seem like you can just have a fucking conversation while you're falling in the middle of the air.
Yeah, like, no, it's not like
I
that
know
at all.
That, like, the senses and everything that are happening. Yeah. It's not this beautiful. It's not this beautiful ballet that we're just watching for 15 minutes.
You're shitting your pants all the way down, I bet. But I'm sure.
That one scene where they're all in the circle.
Yes.
And Bodhi is like calling to Keanu. He's like, Come on, man.
Fly like a bird, like, bro.
All you're hearing is like, you can't hear shit. There's no talking. And like,
you're definitely not hearing anybody 100 yards away from you. That's for damn sure. But yeah, no, I think there was a thing that I read that Mythbusters tried to do a thing where they were like, could they pull off the second jump where Utah jumps out without a chute
and catches him,
and then they both land okay? And they were like, yeah, nah, that's not happening. Couldn't do it. In no way, shape, or form could they ever pull that off.
It would be impossible, right? He'd have to pull his chute and you'd have to get lucky enough to steer over to him to catch
him. I think the thing they realized was that he could never even catch him the way he does, where he just dives straight towards him. Like too much time had passed between when Bodhi jumps and when Utah finally jumps, that there's no way in hell he would ever catch
him. Also, it's what ends up happening. Bodhi's a smart guy. He thought throwing homeboy out, bleeding out, was a good fucking idea of that plane. Like, the massive pressure spikes that happen in the body when you're like, dude, blood is rushing out of his body.
Utah kills me. He's just like, you're going to die soon, Roach.
Yeah, he's like, bro, you're cold because the blood's leaving your body. And he's like, let me give you your jacket. It's like, it doesn't work that way, Bodhi. You're a smart guy, but that jacket ain't going to do shit. Here, fucking hold on to the money bag. It's like,
see you in hell, Johnny.
So that brings us to, what is it, the 50-year storm?
Hold on a second. Can I just throw something out here, piece of trivia? The beach spot where the football game is played at the beginning of the movie, the same spot used for the soccer game in Karate Kid.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Another bit of trivia. I think this is true. I'm not 100%, but I'm almost positive. The shrimp shack that Lori Petty works at.
Iron Man 3.
No. Same shrimp place that Dom and Paul Walker eat at in
Fast and Furious 1. What a coincidence.
So that's going to be our final thing we're going to touch on. But let's talk about this the 50-year storm. Do we think that this movie has an emotional payoff with this, like, big return? Do we buy that he just lets him go in there to die in the ocean?
100%, bro.
I have a hot take on this scene, though.
He's not going to swim to Fiji.
So the only thing that makes me upset about this movie that I, like, genuinely don't like is that they talk about this 50-year storm. There's all this crazy cinematic scenes. They're in the rain. They're looking all sexy. They fight. He handcuffs him. He finally lets him go just to, like, get the one last wave. And then they show Bodhi catch the wave. And that fool eats shit immediately. And I was like, dude, I get it. It's a big fucking wave. But you couldn't have let him ride it for like 3 seconds and then just get fucking hit.
He should have just like,
he barely even gets on his board. It. Yeah, like I don't even know if he stands up on the board. He's just immediately done. And I was like, dang, that could have been a little better, I think.
I wonder if there was how can we pull this effect off? Like, how can you get a stuntman into a wave that big and safely, like, do it? And I wonder if it's like the only way he can do it is if he jumps.
Crash.
Like,
he has to bail like right away.
He has to bail right away into before the break and swim below it. And
if the wave actually hits him, he's for real dead.
Yeah, because if he surfs into that wave and it hits him, he fucking dies. Because that is a stuntman on that wave. That's not digital. So
yeah.
But you're right. I remember watching
the movie where I was like, fuck, come on.
Yeah. I remember watching it and thinking, that's pretty weak. Like, he was so stoked to ride this 50-year wave.
And we'll probably end up talking about this, but I never watched the remake. But maybe Edgar Martinez got to actually surf.
Let's not talk about that movie.
They're like Robin Hoods in that one. I watched
the movie doesn't exist.
I don't want to talk about that movie at all because
they're not even surfers.
I knew better than to not even watch it.
I just I can't. Let me ask you guys something real quick on a casting thing here. So the studio did not want Keanu Reeves. They wanted Johnny Depp. Now, what's this movie like with Johnny Depp and Patrick Swayze?
Too serious.
Okay,
and maybe slightly sexier.
Let me throw something out here.
Sexier and maybe a little bit better acting.
Let me throw something out here. What if this movie is made a couple of years earlier with a Top Gun era Tom Cruise as Utah?
I don't think that works.
Don't like it. Don't like it.
Okay.
Tom Cruise can't play that Valley guy thing. There's no way.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's a different vibe.
Who else?
Even though Utah is
close. I think Johnny Depp would do it. It would be too well done. And I think that takes away from, like, Keanu is the perfect amount of dumb for that character. Where it's like, it's funny because he's not even really the Valley character because he's not from there, but it's like that perfect, like his accent just makes it, it just makes it surfy, you know what I mean? I like when it's like, caught my first wave, bruh. It's like, we're gonna, I don't know, we're Johnny Depp could do it, but it wouldn't be the same.
Okay,
now if I was gonna recast, if I was gonna recast with somebody, maybe Sean Penn
could do both.
Both, yeah.
100%. Sean Penn could do either.
You want to know who was originally actually offered the role of Johnny Utah?
Who?
Matthew Broderick.
No, sir. Yeah. No, sir.
What happens? But what happens if it does? Could that have changed the trajectory of Matthew Broderick's career and persona as people saw him?
No, because he wouldn't have done a good job.
I just think it's a different movie. It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's not the same movie.
It's not it's not an action.
All right. Well, it turns out that Matthew didn't want it, and they also offered it to Johnny Depp, Charlie Sheen, Willem Dafoe, and Val Kilmer.
I got some options.
Wow, they really didn't want Keanu.
Let me do some casting here. Nick Cage could have done Johnny Utah or Bodhi. He probably could have pulled off either. I think it would have been a little weird, a little crazy, but that era Nick Cage was like right in the zone.
Just crazy enough.
You know who else would be pretty good? Jeff Bridges.
You think he got ripped?
I think he might have been too old.
Maybe a little too old, but like Jeff Bridges at the right era, if he got like ripped, could have done Bodhi.
Check this out.
Interesting.
Jeff Bridges as Busey's role.
Yes. I'm with it.
I could see that.
Honestly, maybe even better. Yeah. Maybe the movie like gets dialed down a couple notches.
I love Busey's character though.
Yeah. I do too. He's great.
Totally.
He's hilarious.
Totally agree.
One other throw out. I think Cusack. I think Cusack could have played Utah.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Cusack could have played Utah.
I love me some Cusack.
Cusack's a good could've. Utah. I stand by Nick Cage. I think there's something there.
I think you're onto something.
I stand by
did
that.
Did this movie springboard Keanu?
Well, this was actually Keanu's first.
He'd already done.
This was his first action movie.
Yeah,
because he'd done Bill and Ted's already, right?
Right. He had done nothing but like teen movies, and this was sort of his first movie that got him as an action star. The movie was actually
this.
Sorry, go ahead.
That got him speed.
This got him speed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He. The movie was originally called Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
Not a good title.
Point Break. And it took him a long time to get to Point Break. Apparently.
Not a good title, but excellent character name.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So as we near the final kind of piece of this conversation, what is this peak? It's not. Is it peak Keanu Reeves?
No.
No.
The Matrix.
No.
Yeah. The Matrix, or it's arguable that Wick is peak Keanu Reeves. But I still stand by The Matrix.
I feel like Keanu Reeves has had like four different peaks.
Yeah. He's had a couple renaissance. He's kind of like a renaissance. He has a lot of reinvention. Let's look at this.
You've got Teen Heartthrob, which would be, let's say, Parenthood, Bill and Ted, and My Private Idaho. And then you've got fucking Point Break. Then you've got Speed. Then you've got Matrix and that series. Then you've got his like romantic comedies where he kind of dies down. And then we've got the reinvention with the sort of what happened with Matthew McConaughey and others before. That's this new kind of renaissance of him and Wick. And then also,
but even less so because
he came back strong. He went from teen heartthrob to like just classic. I don't really. It's like the attractiveness doesn't matter anymore. He's just a good action hero. And then he just went full, like, he's just in the DILF era now, where it's like, now he's just like sexy all over again.
Well, I don't know what did it. You guys might know, but his knees are fucked.
So he was on track to become a professional hockey player, and he blew out his knee on that track.
Oh, so then, the Johnny Utah story is kind of real.
And so that's when he, because if you look, he still has the John Wick sort of, what I always goof on the John Wick movies when they show him walking or running, is he's got that in this movie. He's got that in Point Break.
Yeah, no, he's very stiff when he runs. He's not a fluid runner. Like Wick very specifically, like what I love about his renaissance into John Wick, and I think it's different than the Matthew McConaughey one in the sense that McConaughey learned how to be a good actor. Like McConaughey took that like surfer thing and then was like, oh, I need to take acting lessons and I need to take this seriously. And then all of a sudden you get Dallas Buyers Club, you get Mud, you get all these like Oscar, True Detective. There's that like year of like great performances. What Keanu does is he kind of takes the Cruise approach and he goes, nah, fuck that. I'm just going to get lights out with like stunt gun work. And I'm going to become like the fastest gun in Hollywood. And that's going to be my thing. And it totally worked for him.
I would say less like Cruise, more like Liam Neeson, which is like,
yes,
I'm going to fall like, into like this.
Meet them in the middle. It's like those two guys fused is where I feel
it's funny because he ended up doing like the classes in real life that he does in this movie when like the opening credit, like I've seen footage of him like really doing that shit. And it's gnarly.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I guess the last question would be, do we bring Slush on to talk about almost the exact same movie, The Fast and the Furious?
That's a layup, bro. That is a fucking layup.
Well, Slush has got thoughts on this.
Hey, that's what
someone had to crawl so someone else could start like a 40 movie franchise, because if you look at this movie piece by piece, Fast and the Furious is basically the exact same movie. You just replace surfing with
street racing. Yeah.
Like it's literally, and I mean,
and bank there's robberies like, with DVD players.
Yeah. There's like a bunch of lore to this, but like I have kind of like bullet points that I went through, but it's like literally FBI agent goes undercover as a surfer to bust bank robbers. FBI agent goes undercover as a street racer to bust semi truck robbers. Same exact thing, same plot, same basic character. Like, it's the same. Both main characters meet a lady friend who becomes a lady interest who happens to be related to the gang in some way. Mm-hmm. They both work at a like shrimp shack style restaurant, and like, the Keanu's shrimp and fries is the tuna no crust. It's like the same fucking line.
And like this is the best
example of let me copy your homework, like just make it a little bit different.
Keanu orders a tuna when Busey gets the meatball. He says, can I get a tuna fish on white?
It's the same thing.
Wheat on wheat. Oh, yeah, healthy.
Moving even past that, more evidence of this just blatant robbery of a movie. They both suspect the rival gang. They both bust the rival gang and almost ruin like the whole plot of the movie, which is them being undercover. Both agents get caught being undercover when shit hits the fan, and then like the whole movie takes a turn. It's like pretty much the same thing there. They both learn extreme skills, whether it's racing a car or surfing or skydiving. They both have that same, like, good guy, bad guy that become best friends. Maybe it's a romance in another world. Like, they're literally, it's like scene for scene, the exact same. It's the same movie. So you're welcome, Fast and the Furious. You're welcome that Point Break was here.
So would we in Fast 10 be accepting if all of a sudden Johnny Utah shows up?
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing.
That'd be the fucking raddest thing they could do.
And then they surf together. They surf their cars.
Okay. Who's a more Zen master, Bodie or Dominic Toretto?
Fucking Bodie.
It's Bodie. It's Bodie.
It's Bodie.
Yeah. You can't take away Bodie. Bodie could have had his own movie. Bodie.
I got to be honest with you guys.
This was kind of his movie.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know, man. Living your life a quarter mile at a time. That's some deep shit. All right, okay. Who would you rather have barbecue with?
Oh,
Bodie or Dominic Toretto? Okay, okay.
Bodie would get on my fucking nerves after about 45 minutes. I'd be like, dude, yeah, you Bodie were cool, would, but
honestly,
shut the fuck
Bodie
up.
Bodie might suck at party.
And then it would take him like being the guy that's still there talking, and me finally like hitting a joint at the end of the night, and then finally I'm high enough to be like, bro, you're not bad.
Okay, who's more extreme, the dead presidents or Dominic Toretto's crew?
Depends.
Are we only
like
comparing
which movie you're talking about?
Yeah. Are we only talking
now
about
they're in space and shit?
Fast
and now it's like a whole different movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. One guy shoots a Bugatti off that tower in Dubai.
But which one still? When you watch it, makes your balls tighten up.
Jumping out of the airplane, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Fast and the Furious, even though it does a good job of like bringing in all those elements, to me, you can see it. Versus like when I watch Point Break, I don't know if it's just because it was the first one, but it didn't feel like it was forced or like I don't really know how to explain it. I just feel like it wasn't set up on purpose to hit certain things. It just happened to hit that way.
It became
so memorable.
In Point Break, all of the stunts are real, man. They're doing that shit in real life. And
that's true.
And in Fast and the Furious, it's like, it looks like it could be real, but you know, for the most part, it's not. Outside of the first one, which some of that stuff, you know, is pretty realistic other than the NOS, but the stunts are all just too real, man.
What I would say. If they kept making Point Break movies, I don't know that they get better.
So, you want to know something? 1993, the studio had intended in releasing a sequel, and there's a script that was written for it, and for whatever reason, they decided to scrap it.
I will say that's the one thing that franchise, I don't know. I think that this movie is such a capsule as it is that like it has to stay like in this preserved state. It couldn't have existed outside of this like special cosmic event where Fast and the Furious manages to take this and then like fumbles the football a couple times. And then, for no pun intended,
fumbles the football. I was going to say, does Fast and the Furious get better with more movies?
Like, no,
I don't know.
I use better loosely. Like, by Fast 5, it really understands the genre and pushes it to a very interesting space. And I feel very weird saying that about Fast and the Furious because Fast and Furious is insane. But like, this is, if you take this and you compare it to Fast and Furious 1, I take Point Break for sure.
I think the thing is that you can keep pushing the limits with the Fast and Furious franchise, and there's not much more you can do with a Point Break. It's like, that's it. And perfectly so. Like it's encapsulated in this one movie in such a perfect way, in my opinion. And I think that like it doesn't need anything else. Like you're not going to have them surfing sand dunes, you know, or like on Mars.
Yeah. It's weird that it like almost invented its own genre, but didn't continue its own genre.
Yeah.
It really led the way for other movies to come in and basically copy it. And it kind of like, it really did like create the template, even though it didn't keep going.
Action movies. And
when they tried to remake
generation.
Their own movie, they just failed miserably.
Well, and the remake of this movie is a good example of them going, well, what's working for the movie that just copied us? And they tried to Fast and the Furious up Point Break. And you're like, oh, this doesn't work, man. Cause like, it's just, this movie is kind of like, it's like void of irony. You know, it like doesn't have an ounce of irony to it. The irony is now me in 2021 watching it. And I'm like, this is pretty, like, I think that's why I like that we did this movie, is because you three have a real connection to it. And I'm watching this very campy movie for the first time. And I'm like, yeah, I see it. I see why this is this ironic masterpiece. Before we wrap it up, Slush, did you ever see Point Break live in Los Angeles?
No.
You know what it is? Cisco, did you ever go to Point Break Live?
God, I always wanted to, dude. And I wanted
Steve,
to be the one that got called.
I did.
Yeah. So Slush, Point Break Live was a live stage performance of Point Break. And it was super bombastic. And they like, when they're surfing, they like splash water on the audience. But the whole gimmick of it is that they just picked an audience member to come up on stage and read Johnny Utah's lines.
Yeah. And there's video of Keanu on YouTube going and going to it. But it's one of those things too that ended up utilizing the very beginnings of Twitter and social media, because eventually, very much like how Emo Night and all that kind of stuff is in every city now, at one point there was like a Point Break Live in like every major city. To the point where they ended up, I believe, having to actually go through a whole licensing thing with it. And then all of a sudden you had Top Gun pop-ups happening with Top Gun Live, and it was like a thing in like improv theaters and like underground like UCB type places.
Yeah, I mean, Point Break Live was, I think a lot of those they tried to do like improvised Top Gun and like like it didn't work as well. This, what made this one so good was the audience member just basically like the implication that like you could take anyone and just have them read that script and they are as present as Keanu Reeves. But,
and they've got like, dude, they've got like water and kiddie pools. I mean, it's fucking nuts.
It's nuts.
That's amazing.
So Point Break has had a lasting impression on summer movies, on everybody at this thing. Slush, thank you so much. We'll have to get you to come back on, dude. Maybe in like a month or two, we'll have you pick another summer movie and we'll chat. Cause I gotta be honest, man. I feel like you're a fourth rebel. I feel like there's a
title
connection here.
That's a title I will gladly take.
Well, if the people want to support Slush Cult, where can they find y'all?
Every social media and the website, we keep it easy. It's just Slush Cult.
Any cool drops they should get excited for?
We've got summer coming up pretty soon. We've actually got some new board shorts that you could go get your beach Point Break fantasy in if you want.
My wife loves her.
And I'm also dropping a reggae album, if you hear that.
Yeah. Okay, great. You should just like knock on the door, like, let's just fucking collab, dude. You guys just want to do a quick collab? Let me hear that guitar.
Is that the Long Beach dub All Stars?
Dude, the Santa Ana dub All Stars. What about you, Cisco? Where can people find you at home?
Yeah, don't find me on the internet. Just go follow Slush and support him.
Yep. Steve, where can people find you?
Once again, go find Slush.
And you can find me at www.slushcult.com, because all of us are young, dumb, and full of. We'll see you next time on BSR.
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with a little baby shit like that.